the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, as we say, I adore you with profound reverence. How else can we come before you? You who are God Almighty and God All-Merciful, God All-Loving. God is love, St. John writes in his first letter. And we do our prayer today about love, beginning with love for you and love for our neighbor. The greatest of these, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, is love, the most important virtue, because it unites us directly with you. And no better place to consider your love for us than in various events of your passion. St. John, at the beginning of the 13th chapter of his Gospel, says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And Lord, you love us to the end. Not only to the end of your life here on earth, but to the end of your very being. You loved us completely. And we see that immediately afterwards, where you wash the apostles' feet. And let us read those words. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you.'" And Lord, you, the Lord and Master, the teacher, have stooped to that role of a servant, washing your disciples' feet. Spirit of service. And you said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Lord, we have so many opportunities to imitate you in that spirit of service. If you, God Almighty, came to serve us and to give your life as a ransom for many, how much more we ought to serve those around us, beginning in our families, doing all those chores that fall to each one. And of course, the parents have more and harder chores than the children. But let us do what falls to us, that we see some family member in need, in whatever way, maybe doing a job and they need a helping hand. Maybe they are doing their homework in the case of the children, and we help them to do that. Maybe they are just down. We see them tired, perhaps sad, and we spend time listening to them. Spirit of service, forgetting ourselves and serving those around us, doing whatever they need. and one will want to play, another one to go shopping, another one to go for a walk or simply to talk, that we be available. This is the spirit of service. And Lord, when we do it, we should think we're doing it for you. You said that. And we read your words in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Describing the Last Judgment, you say, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And Lord, help us to see you in everyone in our family and every single person around us. What we do for them, we are doing for you. We are storing up treasure in heaven. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, exemplifies this, serving those desperately poor and sick and dying people in Calcutta and through her sisters all over the world. She related in a conference for priests in Rome, one day they brought a man from the streets and half of his body was all eaten up. Worms were crawling all over his body and nobody could stand near him. The odor was so great. So I went to clean him. And he looked at me and then he asked, why do you do this? Everybody has given me away. Why do you do this? Why do you come near me? I love you, I said. I love you. You are Jesus in a distressing disguise. And Lord, help us to see you in everyone. And this man, humanly speaking, was repugnant. The odor was so great. Those worms, those maggots, eating into his flesh. But let's go on with Mother Teresa's account. I love you. You are Jesus in a distressing disguise. Jesus is sharing his passion with you. And he looked up at me and said, and you too, by doing what you are doing, are sharing. I said, no, I'm sharing the joy of loving with you. I love the Jesus in you. And this Hindu gentleman, so full of suffering, what did he say? Glory be to Jesus Christ. There was no complaint of those big worms eating into his body. There was no crying, no calling. He realized that he was somebody, that he was loved. And Lord, there are so many people around us that need that love, that gaze, that touch of a hand. Help us to be that person who makes you present to them and we see you in them. It is so much easier. Whatever we did to the least of our brethren here, we did to you. And this beautiful story, just a story of a woman named Ruth. Ruth went to her mailbox and there was only one letter. She picked it up and looked at it before opening. But then she looked at the envelope again. There was no stamp, no postmark, only her name and address. She read the letter. Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon, and I would like to visit. Love always, Jesus. Her hands were shaking as she placed the letter on the table. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. With that thought, Ruth remembered her empty kitchen cabinets. Oh my goodness, I really don't have anything to offer. I'll have to run down to the store and buy something for dinner. She reached for her purse and counted out its contents, $5.40. Well, I can at least get some bread and cold cuts. She threw on her coat and hurried out the door. A loaf of French bread, a half pound of sliced turkey, and a carton of milk, leaving Ruth with the grand total of 12 cents to last her until Monday. Nonetheless, she felt good as she headed home, her meager offerings tucked under her arm. "Hey, lady, can you help us, lady?" Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans, she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway. A man and a woman, both of them dressed in little more than rags. "Look, lady, I ain't got a job, you know, and my wife and I have been living out here on the street, and, well, now it's getting kind of cold, and we're getting kind of hungry, and, well, if you could help us, lady, we'd really appreciate it." Ruth looked at them both. They were dirty. They smelled bad. And frankly, she was certain they could get some kind of work if they really wanted to. "Sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is a few cold cuts and some bread, and I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight, and I was planning on serving that to him." "Yeah, well, okay, lady, I understand. Thanks anyway." The man put his arm around the woman's shoulders, turned, and he headed back into the alley. As she watched them leave, Ruth felt a familiar twinge in her heart. "Sir, wait." The couple stopped and turned as she ran down the alley after them. "Look, why don't you take this food? I'll figure out something else to serve my guest." She handed the man her grocery bag. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much." "Yes, thank you." It was the man's wife. And Ruth could see now that she was shivering. "You know, I got another coat at home. Here, why don't you take this one?" Ruth unbuttoned her jacket and slipped it over the woman's shoulders. Then, smiling, she turned and walked back to the street, without her coat and with nothing to serve her guest. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much." Ruth was chilled by the time she reached her front door, and worried too. The Lord was coming to visit, and she didn't have anything to offer him. She fumbled through her purse for the door key, but as she did, she noticed another envelope in her mailbox. "That's odd. The mailman doesn't usually come twice in one day." She took the envelope out of the box and opened it. "Dear Ruth, it was so good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal. And thank you, too, for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus." It's only a story, but Jesus is in everyone around us, everyone in this world, and you love everyone. You came that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You died on the cross for everyone. You have a place in heaven for everyone. And you ask us to love them too, because in loving them, we are loving you. Help us to have that big heart that Ruth had, to see everyone around us as you, and to give them whatever they need, to love to the end as you did. That way we store up treasure in heaven. We're doing it to you, and to do it without being noticed. God sees it, even if others here on earth do not. And as Saint Teresa says, give until it hurts, not just within our comfort zone. Be generous as God is generous with us. And in doing this, we are loving as you loved. You invite us to do that. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Lord, to love as you have loved us, to the end, and loving everyone. And then others will see that we are Christians by the love we have for one another. And another anecdote that Mother Teresa relates in that same address to priests. A few days ago, when I was in the home, a man came and walked through, and he went straight to the women's side without even speaking to me. And there he saw a sister cleaning a person that had just come, brought by the ambulance from the streets of Calcutta, full of worms and dirt. And the man just looked and looked. He looked at the sister's hands and at her face and then at the sister's eyes. And he understood that God's love was being poured through those hands, through that face, through those eyes. And he came to me and he said, "I came here godless. I came here with anger. And I go out from this house with an understanding that the presence of God is in my heart now. I know God loves us. I have seen God's love in the touch of that sister. I have seen God's love in the eyes of those sisters, how they were looking at that patient, believing that it was God whom they were serving." Lord, help us to live like that, to look after all those in our care and all those strangers too, knowing that it is you that we are serving, and people will find God through us. They will say, as those early pagans said, and Tertullian relates it towards the end of the second century, speaking of Christians, "See how they love one another." Lord, that we be characterized by that love, and others will see that we are Christians, and many will be led perhaps to the church through our kindness. People will see that we are different. We have that kindness. We smile. We care. We are generous. We go out of our way to serve others. Lord, help us to do that, to love one another as you have loved us in that new commandment. And then still in the Gospel of John, in his account of the Last Supper, now in the 15th chapter, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." No greater love to lay down our life. And Lord, we probably won't have to do that. You did, and you were not man laying down your life for your friends. You were God. God Almighty, creator of the universe, laying down your life, not for your friends, but for those who were estranged from you by original sin. At least we can lay down our time, some money, some effort that we make to serve another, to lay down whatever we can to help them. And then, to forgive, as you forgave from the cross. This time we open the Gospel of St. Luke to the 23rd chapter. Giving the account of the crucifixion, he relates, "Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Lord, you were forgiving those who were putting you to death with all of that cruelty, taunting, mocking, treating you very harshly. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, we are generally not asked to forgive someone that has hurt us as much as those people were hurting you. But you do ask that we forgive too. And as we say this, we can each pause and ask, is there anyone I find hard to forgive? Someone that perhaps hurt me a long time ago, or hurt someone in my family that I still have not learned to forgive. Some people are very hard to forgive, but let us understand what forgiveness is and what it is not. It is not feeling kindly towards those persons. When we think of them and what they did, we might still feel angry, and that is not a problem. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is an act of the will, telling our Lord, I forgive that person, wishing them well, not evil, not I hope you rot in hell. We wish them well. We pray for them. We ask God to forgive them. We ask God to take them one day to heaven. Then we are wishing them well. Then we are forgiving them. And that is all that God expects. And Lord, you tell us how important it is to forgive. And now we go to the Sermon on the Mount in the 6th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. You give us the Our Father, where you teach us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And now you go on to say immediately, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Lord, help us to take those words to heart, to make sure that whoever has offended us, we do forgive them from the heart, so that you will forgive us. Another way that we live this precious virtue of charity is patience. As Lord, you were so patient with those who were putting you to death, not saying anything. Pilate, when he led you out in front of the multitudes with the purple robe and the crown of thorns and the reed for a scepter in your hands, and he said, "Behold the man." And perhaps people were laughing, taunting you, and you said nothing. Patient with the apostles who were so slow to learn at times, to understand what you were saying. Help us to be patient, a very difficult virtue, because our patience is tried very often. Sometimes, and perhaps most often, within our family. That spouse who at times is so difficult, that child, perhaps one child more than the others, who really tries our patience. To think, as St. Jose Maria writes, don't say, that person gets on my nerves. Say, that person sanctifies me. That person is like my crown of thorns. Lord, that person does get on my nerves, but by the same token, that person sanctifies me, will get me to heaven much quicker than all the nice people around me. And patience with drivers on the road who cut in front of us, who drive so slowly, people in shops who jump the queue. When we ring an office, and we go through a whole host of numbers to press if we want this or that until finally, after several minutes and then more waiting, we finally get through to a real person. Patience. This is our world today. And a good way to be patient with others is to remember how patient God is with us. Lord, you have been so patient with me. When I tell you I'm sorry for my sins and I will try not to commit the sin again, and I go out and commit it again and again and again. You are infinitely patient with me. Help me to be patient with those around me. And kindness. Lord, you are so kind to everyone. Kind to those people who were sick, to those lepers, to the blind, to the people who were grieving because someone had died, to the children, and you put your arms around them. Help me to be more kind. It is a virtue that is quite lacking in our world today. That people make their way busily through the world, not even looking at those around them. Help me to care for people with a smile, to put myself out for them, to overcome my grumpiness, my bad moods at times, and to smile, and they won't even know that I'm in a bad mood, that I'm perhaps angry or stressed from something that happened at work. And again, Mother Teresa, she says, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness, kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. And kindness is lacking. And maybe, Lord, when we think of it, we're not very kind either. But it is so important to bring joy, to bring love, to bring a caring kindness into this world with those around us. And let us read some words of Pope Francis from his encyclical Fratelli Tutti. Kindness frees us from the cruelty that at times infects human relationships, from the anxiety that prevents us from thinking of others, from the frantic flurry of activity that forgets that others also have a right to be happy. Often nowadays, we find neither the time nor the energy to stop and be kind to others, to say, excuse me, pardon me, thank you, precisely because it entails esteem and respect for others. Once kindness becomes a culture within society, it transforms lifestyles, relationships, and the ways ideas are discussed and compared. Kindness, Lord, help me to be more kind, more smiling, more caring with everyone around me. And then to love everyone, everyone, because you died for everyone. You love everyone. And we are to love as you have loved us. And it might be people of some other race that we find difficult, people of some other religions. Perhaps it is a difficult neighbor. Love them. Be kind to them. And St. Luke writes in the 6th chapter of his Gospel, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Lord, help us to be generous in living this charity in all of these aspects, as you are so loving with us. With me, we can all say, with all of mankind. And we finish with Our Lady, as always. And Lord, what an example you give to us in your mother. When she has just received you into her womb, her first thought is for that kinswoman Elizabeth, who is in her 6th month. And she makes that long journey to the hill country of Judea, carrying you in her womb, forgetting herself and spending 3 months helping Elizabeth, giving so much joy to Elizabeth, to John the Baptist in her womb, and to Zechariah, her husband. Generosity, kindness, thinking of others. Mary, help me to be more thoughtful, more kind, more generous, more loving to all those around me. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.